I'm Mark Bayshore. Last fall, a task force was created to help the Lansing School Board figure out what to do with its aging buildings. In January, the group presented their recommendations to the board. However, the fate of many of the district's buildings, including the high schools, remains unknown. The district's modernization plan is supposed to be presented later this month or early in April. Joining us now by phone to discuss the district's efforts is Lansing School Board President Peter Spadafore. Hi, Peter.
Good morning, Mark. How are you today?
I'm well. We're glad you could join us for this.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Last fall, we spoke with Sam Sinacropi and more recently with Kelly Dean, who were key members of the facilities task force. Remind our listeners how many Lansing School District buildings are in need of major repairs.
Well, the simple answer is all of them. We have a really big need for infrastructure improvements across the district, but we're looking at when I got elected, we talked a lot about buildings, and I firmly believe that it's our educators that really do the educating. It's not the bricks and the mortar, but we also have to take into account that our students need a 21st century learning environment like their neighbors. So we've been talking with the superintendent and everyone I've met with, and I know my colleagues on the board are doing the same, where we're starting to talk about the need for a district-wide improvement and modernization plan. And that's where that community task force comes in that you mentioned just a minute ago, where we wanted them to also take a look and see what their recommendations were. And that was presented to the school board, and it was received pretty well. To be clear, it wasn't a final proposal. We took that recommendation, and the superintendent and her team have been pouring over that information and then all the rest of the data to try and come up with a more concrete recommendation for a long-term facilities plan. You know, this board has really, I think, taken great strides to try and look at the horizon rather than the immediate right in front of us perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to do the same thing with facilities. In the past, it's been, well, this year we have to save X number of dollars, so we have to close how many buildings to make that reality.
Right.
We're not doing that this time. This time it's about providing, great facilities and looking strategically. I think we're all, we've now acclimated to the fact that this is not a 20,000-30,000 student district. We're a 12,000 student district. How do we right size strategically to ensure that we have space to grow if necessary, but that we're educating the students we have in quality, top-notch, competitive educational environments.
Is the district still losing students, Peter?
It appears that we may have stabilized that student loss. Our fall to winter count this year actually went up by a very small amount, 25 students. But in previous years, we've dropped as many as 200 to 300 in that span.
What do you take that to mean?
Well, I think that it really demonstrates that there's a confidence in the Lansing School District again, that we see parents are making the choice to stay in Lansing or bring their students to Lansing. And I don't have exactly the numbers, how many came in from, that weren't there and are there now and those types of things. But we're up 25 from our fall count, and that's not a lot in the Lansing School District, but that's a whole classroom that we didn't lose. And every time there's a student that comes into this district, he or she, brings with them state funding in the amount of around $7,300. So it's a really good sign to me. It shows, back in 94 or 93 when schools of choice first started to become a reality, the mantra was parents would vote with their feet. We're starting to see parents are voting with their feet and bringing their students back and staying in the Lansing School District. So
I'm so struck between that trend and the fact that the city itself may actually not have to cut anything from its budget. It's almost as if the stars have aligned here between the school districts and between two of the key institutions driving the city of Lansing, the city government itself, and
sure,
the school district.
Well, and I'm very happy for our counterparts over at City Council and the mayor, of course, because they've done some tremendous work trying to keep that budget in balance. The school board has never adopted an unbalanced budget. We're adding to our fund balance, and for the first time in a while, we're not looking at dramatic cuts next year. It still might be tough if we do see pupil losses, but the early counts are looking good for us. So I wouldn't count the dollars in the bank quite yet, but I'm remaining optimistic about what it means for our budget next year. The board is looking at all methods of cost saving. One proposal we're talking about right now is leasing the Hill Center out to help us save on $750,000 in utility costs for a building that, for the most part, goes unused. Mm. So we're really looking at creative ways to save money too that don't directly affect the classroom.
Let's talk a little bit more here about the high schools in the Lansing School District. How do you see the high schools changing in Lansing in the aftermath of the facilities task force report? How many high schools do you envision in the district?
Well, that's a very good question. We'll always have a need for high schools. We're not going to get rid of that need. But I think how we're doing it can change. And some of the facilities we have are nearly 100 years old and have for years not been a priority in terms of maintenance and upkeep and upgrading. So I think it's unrealistic that the high schools will exist the way we know them in 3 to 5 years. That being said, we want to make sure we give the community time to adjust to any changes that we might be making, and also that we have a place to, move students should a high school close. So this is just a for instance, but one for instance that's been talked about is should Eastern High School be closed, we could take a look at part of a bond proposal to expand Pattengill Middle School into a new Eastern High School campus. I personally am trying really hard not to make the whole facilities conversation about high schools, because I do want to have the entire district benefit from a facilities modernization, so all 12,000 students are receiving a benefit rather than just, 1,500 in one specific campus. So I want to start by saying that, but I think we're going to have to realistically start looking at what's been circling in Lansing for at least 10 years, and that's the possibility of closing one of the high schools as it exists right now.
What do you make of the task force's recommendation that Eastern become focused on training and insurance and IT, which the task force says are promising job sectors here in the Lansing area? What do you make in particular of that proposal?
Well, I think that is a particularly interesting proposal, and Sparrow, for instance, or Michigan State University or Lansing Community College could be a great partner in that. Now, does that necessarily mean it has to be on that site? Eastern High School could exist somewhere else near there and still be Eastern, still have the Quakers and all of that, and still provide opportunities like a biosciences experience, a school within a school, if you will. And I think the school board is very excited about those types of opportunities as well. You take a look at the magnet grants we just launched, 6 new schools, 4 new concepts that are schools within a school type proposals. So this board is really interested in providing unique offerings for our students. We have more offerings than any district in the area, and I don't think that we're interested in ceasing expanding those options.
We're talking with the president of the Lansing School Board, Peter Spatafor, about the changes that the board and the district is looking at for the future. What about concern over Eastern's historic nature? Would this factor into the district's decision if they end up selling the building? Would, for example, offers that would preserve the building take a higher priority, do you think?
I think that is one consideration within all of the considerations we have to make. I mentioned also any proposal that comes to the board to, purchase the building, it's going to have to recognize that we here in the district need a place to educate those students until an alternative site can be established. So that's one thing that has to take a look at. If you're looking at somebody who wants to come in and in 6 months turn it around and be seeing a profit on that building, that's a big change for the community right away, and that's not something that I necessarily want to see happen right away. So those are all factors we have to weigh. The historic value of the building is not without merit. It's a beautiful building. It has a great structure. But it's not serving the students as best we can now. So that's why we're having a serious conversation about this. The argument of preservationists is not falling on deaf ears with the school board. We have said if there are folks out there with proposals that are pen to paper ready to be looked at, please bring them to the school board. Mm. We'd love to take a look at them. Someone has su- suggested we'd put out an RFP. Now, the district is not redeveloping the site, so we're still looking into how an RFP would work when we're not interested in, you know, fronting the money to turn it into office space or condos or those types of things. So that's one of the things our lawyers are going to have to figure out. But the preservationists that are concerned about keeping that facility, or at least part of that facility, they have sympathetic ears on the school board, and I'm one of them. It is one of the factors that we're considering when we look at options for that site.
You just returned from a retreat this past weekend where the board considered some of your options before you. Could you share some of the takeaways from the retreat?
Sure. Well, most of the retreat was spent on sort of team building and visioning. In fact, we're going to start the long-term strategic planning process in the next couple of weeks, where we'll bring in a lot of the community to start looking at our 3 to 5 year goals that we can then start governing from that document. We have plans in place and goals, but it's time that we start organizing them all so we have a clear direction. And that was the majority of the conversation. The superintendent did share with us a very, very high-level draft version of her recommendations that will be coming to the board more formally. I think the first week of April is when we decided to put that on the agenda. But that was, you know, one of the options was expanding Pattengill into a 9-12 facility. We have to, though, put together a bond exploratory committee and start looking at the options for a bond, because we can't do anything right now in large scale, because our operating dollars need to stay operating dollars. They need to go in the classroom.
No movement on the formation of a committee on that yet, then?
Not yet, no. No. Okay. One has been named or asked yet.
Okay, all right. We've got to leave it there. Great conversation. Peter Spadafore is the president of the Lansing School Board. Thanks, Peter.
Thank you, Mark.